Hi guys, assalamu alaikum. I hope you guys have all been doing great. It's honestly good to be back to your speakers and your ears. You guys, I missed you guys last week, just small, because last week we had our first physical event and it was amazing. Honestly, I had such an amazing time. I met so many wonderful women and it was a wholesome evening. It was so beautiful, you guys. If you didn't attend, you definitely missed. That's all I can say. Anyway, you guys, in today's episode, we have a very special guest. And honestly, if I could describe her in just two words, I think the first two words that come to my mind is someone who is resilient and hardworking. And if I could just add one more word, one more thing to describe her, I'll say she's a go-getter. Like, she knew what she wanted and she went and she got it. And that's beautiful. Anyway, today's episode is very, very inspiring. Honestly, you guys are going to love it. And they actually sent me a box from their brand and I tried it out. And you guys, this is not one of those things that I'm just talking up about something because I saw it online or something. It's something I actually tried and I loved. It was so amazing. So make sure you check them out as you listen to their founder story. Guys, never forget to share our podcast because you really never know who needs to hear what we're saying. So whether you're listening to us on Spotify, whether you're listening to us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or even YouTube, please make sure you leave a comment and a like and share. Guys, make sure you listen to this episode to the end, especially if you participated in the giveaway. And if you didn't participate in the giveaway, you're on your own. If you didn't participate in the giveaway, you can always make a purchase from their website. But if you participated in this giveaway, I am going to be announcing the winner at the end of this episode. Enjoy.
Ji da gyara kunun accha kuma ku samu tsakuwa kaiwa baki wannan zai iya zama abin da da hatsin accha marasa yashi kuma marasa tsakuwa na AK Collective akan naira 2000 kowani kilogram za ku iya shirya abincin accha da kuka fi so ba tare da kun sha wahala ba da sauki ba sai kun gaji da wanke shi domin shirya wa iyalinku abinci mai gina jiki ba kun shirya order kar ku bari a ba ku labari za ku iya ku same mu a WhatsApp a lambar waya mai kamar haka 0700 Instagram Collective.
Hi Kobe, how are you doing today?
Fine, thank you. I'm all right, can't complain.
Okay, can you please give us, you know, a background story of your childhood? You know, how did you come to be who you are today? Who is Kobe Jane Akinrele at her core?
Wow, that's hard. Kobe in this. I always tell this story to talk about myself. I think it's very reflective of my personality. I was born and raised in a small town in the UK called Milton Keynes. Nothing particularly special, just my mum and dad and my younger brother. We also lived with us at the time. However, I think that I've always had a very strong personality, very bubbly. So when I was about 2 or 3 years old, I wasn't the best at walking. And I would go to a lot of doctor's appointments to talk about kind of to assess my walking, etc. And I remember in the reception area there were a couple of toys and I was with my dad. And there was a room full of other children, a room full of other parents. And I was trying to steady myself to play with my toys and I fell. Yeah. fell flat on my face. Now other children would have cried or ran to their parents. No, Kobe did not. I stood up and I said, "Shut up." And my dad was horrified. He's like, "Kobe, you can't talk to people like that." "Yes, I can." "What's happening?" Because they were laughing at me. I fell away and they were laughing. I think that's really speaks to the kind of person I am. I like to be an advocate for myself and for others. I like to make sure that I'm honest with myself and I'm being authentically me and who I am. I see myself as a business owner, but I see myself as a woman of faith. I see myself as a big sister, a daughter, you know, like a really strong woman in the communities that I belong to. I think that's what best describes me.
Oh, that's really nice. I feel like we have something in common because I also have like this really strong personality. So yeah, we have that in common. So so far, you know, with your brand and everything, what would you say inspired and motivated you to start your, you know, tea and green brand in the northern part of Nigeria? Like, why the northern part of Nigeria?
Yeah, so our flagship product is called Acha or Fonio in the international world. And essentially what happened was I came to Nigeria in 2018 as a youth copper. Fell in love, right? Loved it here. You know, loved the weather. I've never lived in Nigeria before. Like I said, I was born and raised in the UK. I loved the culture. I loved the food. So I needed a reason to stay. And one of the issues I had is that I couldn't really find employment here that really met, I don't want to say standards, but that really would have captured my interest. So I thought that, you know, entrepreneurship, running a business would be the best option. I initially wanted to be a spice lady and export spices. So I went to a major market in Lagos called Mile 12. And people say that Mile 12 is a depot, particularly of things that come from northern Nigeria. Now, I didn't find any black pepper that was interesting or any spices that were worth looking into. However, the traders there said that, oh, there's something called acha. And they've started exporting it. And I was like, really? Yes, it comes from Bauchi, and they started exporting it, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, well, can I have a sample? Can I have a look? And it looked a bit like couscous or a bit like gari, kind of, very like tiny. And I was like, they're exporting this. It's like, yes, it's very big money, Martin. And I was like, okay, if you think so. And so I did my research and I fell in love with the story of acha, which was that is primarily a celebratory crop. So people eat acha, well, for health reasons as well, but people eat acha at weddings, at funerals, at you know, Salah, if it's, or Easter or Christmas, you know, holidays, festive foods, right? In the form of gote or pudding, acha pudding or swallow. So, you know, it's really versatile. And unlike rice or unlike millet, it's primarily in Plateau states and some parts of Bauchi, is primarily grown and cultivated by women, of whom sometimes are excluded from traditional trade on that kind of scale. So you see women in the market, okay, of course, but women that are trading grain are largely excluded if you're talking about metric tons at a time. So I thought, you know, I like the story, this is something I can get involved in. And that was it, essentially. I, you know, normally, and I say a normal person would have, you know, registered her business, you know, done some research. No. As soon as I decided, yeah, this is what I'm going to do, I put myself on a flight from Lagos to Jos. I contacted some acha processors in Jos on LinkedIn. I didn't know them from Adam. Ooh, they were strangers. And I said, I'm coming to Jos. Can I visit you? It was really dangerous. I don't actually recommend that.
Honestly, I'm like, what?
You just, yeah, exactly. I don't think, literally, LinkedIn and Facebook. I was like, hello. I didn't speak the language either. So it was actually a lot of risk. But good old Plateau hospitality, the people of Jos were really, really friendly. They showed me around, you know. And then from there, I met my first field officer who happens to be a resident of Bauchi. And then I gathered two or three farmers together and I did my first sample order to the US. Now, I always say that this, if you know acha, this story is usually quite funny. So I called, again, I didn't do any research. This is after one visit to Jos. I called a buyer in the US and I said, oh, I have acha, I can sell to you. I have metric tons, I can sell to you. And the guy was like, okay, great. Send me a sample. I was like, yeah, no problem. So I called my guys in Bauchi and I said, how can I get one mudu of acha? I need to send it to somebody very important. And they said, no worries, yeah, yeah, ma, we'll send it to you. I didn't check it. So yeah, I copied what they sent me and I delivered it directly to the US via NiPost. And the gentleman receiving it said, oh, Kobe, I love the nutty taste, but every time I take a bite, they're crunchy bits. I was like, ah, crunchy bits? He goes, yeah, like you know, it tastes like folio. You know, there's a nice aroma as I'm cooking. It cooks quickly, but there's like the crunchy bits. And I'm like, what? So I call my guy and I'm like, Sam, my buyer is saying that there's crunchy bits. He goes, yeah, my son, he doesn't know how to wash it. And I'm like, yeah, you've ruined my business. Sand.
Oh my God. You know, normally in Nigeria, we would wash it. Like, you would definitely
wash it. You would wash it, but the issue is people don't know. People outside of, like, not even Nigeria, people outside of certain northern states don't have the time and energy to wash it. They don't know how to wash it. And it was so embarrassing. And instead of getting back to the buyer, I ghosted him for a year and a half. and then I realized that, you know, even though I want to be in the acha business, this, I need to do something about it. And then so I gathered three women, and I can send you some pictures, it's hilarious. They were washing acha and drying it outside, and it's like a hut in the background. It was really messy. And if we had an order of more than 200 kg at the time, it would be sandy. The women couldn't cope with anything more than 200 kg. And it was just really stressful. I was running my business via WhatsApp at the time. It was just, it was ridiculous. Tears, blood, sweat and tears. It just, it was wild. But then I raised some money. I raised about $100,000 to build a really small microprocessing unit in Jos.
Wait. You raised $100,000 from selling acha from Jos, from exporting acha.
No, as in I sent a pitch to investors to invest in my acha business.
Okay.
I raised $100,000 that way. To build a small processing unit in Jos that has equipment, you know, distoning equipment and then drying equipment, etc. We built the place from scratch. It's small, it's fit for purpose. We can do about 5 metric tons a day. So it works out quite well. And then our farming community grew from 300 to 500. And then now we have about 1,000 in our network. Now where the teas come in is because some of our farmers at the time, they were demarcating their land using moringa, when we weren't buying acha from them, you know, in order to maintain the relationships, we would buy the moringa from them. And then being that we sold acha as a health product, we decided that we would sell the moringa as in tea form. And that's where we started. And then about 3 years ago, I moved to Jos. So I live in Jos full time. And it's been wonderful. It's been hard, but I'm really grateful for all the kind people that I've met along the way. Actually, I couldn't have done it without them because I took a lot of risk.
That's crazy and inspiring at the same time. So what has the journey been like so far, moving back to Nigeria and then Jos? Like, how has that been?
I think Nigeria is hard. I think there are lots of cultural factors that I wasn't prepared for. However, if I was to do a business anywhere, I would do it in Nigeria and I would do it in Jos, especially if it's an agricultural-based business, because I find that the community is a small-knit community, to the extent that if you need help, you will get the help. If you have questions, somebody will be there and ask you and help you and support you. Now, on the flip side, people tend to be really relaxed and really laid back in Jos. And sometimes that can be quite frustrating, especially if you come from a large metropolitan city like Lagos, or if you come from the UK and you're used to things happening quickly. But I think at some point you have to decide where you can make a compromise. And if everything was so hustle, 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 I wouldn't have made the relationships that I did make in Joss, because people would be too focused on, oh, what's in it for me? If you're not going to pay me, I'm not going to help you. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Honestly, I think that's a problem in Northern Nigeria. Just chill. Like, oh, please. It's like, oh, I beg. I can't come and kill myself. Like,
Exactly. Relaxed. It's like,
I think it's, yes, it was so relaxed. Like, it's crazy.
But then I think that also has its benefits too, because I think sometimes if we are too, I think we don't take into consideration that a lot of Nigerians are experiencing hypertension and high blood pressure because of stress. So, you know, sometimes the country is hard enough. Not everything has to be shout and fight. Do you get what I mean?
Well, honestly, some people are lazy. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. Yeah, so what are the importance and of a healthy lifestyle, and how do you think Northern Nigerian women can do better when it comes to incorporating, you know, their like health in their lifestyle, you understand, especially with Ramadan coming up?
Prioritize rest. As women, especially women who are living in the north, who are supporting their families, and I think sometimes we can exist in a position where we feel as though it's our duty to help and support others, because our family, you know, we love them, we care for them. However, we don't ever take the time to take care of ourselves. And I always say that you can't pour from an empty cup. So, you know, it's not the case where you're preparing meals as people are breaking their fast, but you've not taken the time to sit down and think. Do you get what I mean? You've just been rush, 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 go, 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 go. When everybody's eating, you're not eating. When everybody's drinking, you're not drinking. You're busy rushing, helping everyone else. When do we get the chance to take care of us? So when do you, as a woman, get the time to take care of you? Even in all your commitments, even in your duties, even all of the expectations of you, when do you get to prioritize yourself? Do you get what I mean? And I don't think it's sinful to take care of the body that was given to you. I think it's our duty to look after our bodies and be really mindful of what we're doing. And sometimes people think it's just about what we eat or what we drink. And I don't think it's just about that. It's also about, am I resting? You know, am I, you know, am I sleeping enough? Even in the times where even if I'm, you know, not at work or not at my place of business, am I investing in myself? Am I learning about what is good for me health-wise, what's good for me when it comes to my mental health? Do you get what I mean? Or am I just existing and floating around? And I find that sometimes, because we're not prioritizing ourselves, we've never actually taken the time to think, okay, what are my dreams and aspirations as a woman, and how am I working towards it? You're just existing to serve your family and then scroll on Instagram. That can't be it. There must be more to life than that.
Yeah, I think I would actually be prioritizing rest this Ramadan. I'm the eldest daughter in my family currently, so I'd have like lots of responsibility this Ramadan. But at the end of the day, like, you need to put yourself first. So that's what I'm going to do.
You do, because you don't want to finish the Ramadan period feeling tired. It's meant to be a season of rejuvenation. How is that supposed to happen if you're not prioritizing yourself? And if it means asking for help, why is it so hard for us to say, oh, I need help, or I'm struggling, or can you help me do X, Y, and Z? Do you get what I mean? Because otherwise, you know, you don't want to, it's a deeply spiritual practice, right? You don't want to end that by feeling burnt out because you're rushing and running around for everybody else.
What type of teas do you currently have? And is it just the Acha grain that you guys have? I've been Ake Collectives, and how do they translate to, you know, self-care and well-being?
Yes, I love sweet drinks, right? I love a good Coke. But as you all know, it's hard to contain our what was how to manage how much sugar we're consuming when we're drinking pre-made drinks, which is why our range of teas are so important to me. They are tasty, right? But you know, you can control the amount of sugar or honey you want to add to it. And I think that really makes a difference when it comes to my health as well. When it comes to the things like candida or thrush, I consume too many sugary drinks, I end up with thrush, you know, or end up with fatigue. I break out, my skin starts breaking out. So that moment of pleasure when I was drinking that cold ice Coke, I'm finding that making our teas and then putting them in the fridge and adding ice and adding like a squeeze of lemon is really the game changer. So we have four main varieties. We have a plain moringa, which is in, you know, tea bags. We have a beauty tea, which is tends to be our bestseller, which is made out of moringa, rose and hibiscus. And we have an uplifting tea, which is moringa, lemongrass and mint. And we have a limited edition serenity tea, which is a blend of moringa and English lavender. Now, moringa as a tea is really special because it's really rich in vitamins like vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin K, and it can be served hot or cold. So I try and make sure that I introduce drinking tea and reading a book or writing in my journal. So I have some allocated time in the day that's just for me before things get really wild and crazy. And I think it's worked so, so well. And then in the line talking about sugar, what I found is that we sell acha and we also sell acha flour. And some people use the flour to make pancakes. Some people use the flour for tuol. And I find that locally, particularly in Plateau State, acha tends to be recommended for those who are experiencing diabetes. And the reason why is because acha has what they call a low glycemic index. And a glycemic index refers to the ability of a carbohydrate to be converted into sugar. So in layman's terms or in easy to understand terms, one would argue that acha has less natural sugars in comparison to rice and wheat. And for those of us who like semovita, it's primarily made out of wheat. So if you're concerned about your sugar intake, that isn't really what's best for you. And, you know, for people that don't have diabetes, maybe they don't need to be concerned about that. But I find that, you know, sometimes half of us don't know what could be affecting us. Do you get what I mean? And I'm not saying that we should be overly concerned when it comes to weight gain. However, or, you know, we do need to be more thoughtful about what we're consuming. And sugar has always been an issue for me, only because I like sweet things. And sometimes even if the food doesn't taste sweet, I'm not realizing that because it has a high glycemic index, it's being converted into sugar in my body. And that's what rice has a very high glycemic index. And I'm not saying rice is bad. I love rice too. But should we be eating rice every single day for every single meal? Right? In the morning, we eat masa, super masa. For lunch, we eat rice and stew. For dinner, we eat rice too. Can we mix it up? Right? Can we have some variety?
We're very guilty of eating rice in Nigeria. Oh my God. Okay, so but do you have any upcoming blends that you're excited about and maybe you'd like to share with us?
Well, not so much blends. So like I said, our beauty tea is our best seller because it tastes really good cold. And if you like Zobo, then you tend to like our beauty teas. We are looking to explore having some more what I like to call floral blends. So flower teas. So if you don't know, roses are edible, but there's a whole other range of edible flowers out there that are very good for you, such as chamomile, which can grow in Nigeria. So those are the ones that we're looking to really, really get our audience involvement in to decide, okay, what kind of floral flower teas is, are you interested in? Because I'm not trying to be nerdy here, but flowers contain a chemical called, looks like a flavonoid, right? And it's naturally occurring in flowers. And when we consume floral teas or flower-based teas, it really, really, the flavonoids really help support us in reducing the risk of chronic diseases such as heart disease and diabetes, and to some extent even cancer. So I think it's just us exploring our tea line and looking at, okay, what can grow in Nigeria that will be interesting and still support people locally without breaking the bank.
Okay, so you know you mentioned beauty teas, right? Do you have like any particular blends that are dedicated to like mental health?
Yeah, I think our Serenity blend, because lavender all over the world has always been used as by ancient communities by as a sleep aid, and it promotes a lot of rest and relaxation. It's also been known to help relieve menstrual cramps as well, and it has a lot of antioxidants too, which have been known to reduce chronic heart disease as well. So I like lavender, even if it wasn't in a tea form. I really encourage people to get lavender essential oils and place a tiny, like a couple of drops on their pillows. It really helps with reducing stress and supporting sleep. And I find that sometimes we don't realize how much sleep affects our mental well-being, especially if we feel as though, oh, well, I went to bed at 9 and I woke up at 5, I'm okay. But then how much of that sleep was really deep? Does that make sense? And if you were feeling super anxious before you went to bed, how much of that rest was actual rest? Do you get what I mean? So it would be our Serenity blend, which is a limited edition, and it contains lavender, whole lavender as well. It's not lavender essence in the tea, it's actually real lavender in tea bags. But I would say though that because it is a limited edition, it does sell out very fast when it's released.
Okay, thank you. That's good to hear. I'm going to put an eye out, so whenever you stock it up, I'm among the people that will get it before it sells out.
I'll let you know. Exactly. We'll send you a box.
As a non-Northern Nigeria business owner, what are some of the challenges that you faced building your business in the North?
Well, that's a hard one. So I want to start by saying the North isn't just one big block. There's a lot of different variations between cultural groups across the region. I think somebody from the core North is very different to somebody from the Middle Belt, who's very different from somebody in the East. Do you know what I mean? I think, yeah, because people would get very angry with me if I assumed that the North was one big block.
Get angry about that is because every single person just thinks that the North is just like one space, when there are like so many.
I think so, especially when you come from the southern part of Nigeria. They treat everywhere as if it's just one big block, you know. I've had my mum's friends say, oh, how is Kaduna? I was like, I'm not living in Kaduna. What are you talking about? But I would say, though, largely, broadly, generally, I think the North runs on a trust economy. I think relationships trump everything else. Now, on the one hand, I've mentioned it in a way that it's good. It's, you know, people have really helped support me as I transitioned into being a business owner living in Jos. However, on the other hand, it means sometimes people have expectations of me based on seeing me as a benefactor as opposed to an employer or as opposed to a colleague in business. It's more of, oh, I'm your friend, so you know you should help me, even if it's not at the best interest of your business, because I'm your friend or because I helped you. And sometimes it can be a bit blurry, especially when you're just trying to do good work that's best for everybody. And I also think sometimes it means that people have a reluctance to working with me unless I'm introduced to them by somebody they know or somebody that they trust already. And so then it can be very clicky or cliquey, if that makes sense. Trust is not a bad thing. It's just that you know, sometimes we need to understand that a business has to do what's in the best interest of everybody, and your personal relationships are great, but they shouldn't influence business to the point where, you know, the business dies because you were trying to make sure that everybody was happy, right? So for example, you know, I've worked with people who their cousins are overly involved in their business. Why? Just because it's their cousin, and they don't care whether the person is helping or not helping, or supporting the business in progressing or not. It's just that, oh, well, it's my family, and my family comes first. And some of these things can be quite challenging, especially if it's someone that if it's something that I don't understand. I also think being a woman in Northern Nigeria who's running a business not in a particularly traditional way, I'm not running a beauty business, I'm not selling clothes, can also be quite challenging, I find. And, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes around women that come from Southern Nigeria. People sometimes have assumed that I'm a bit promiscuous or a bit, you know, too free, or even though I don't know what they're basing that off of. But it's because women don't, well, I haven't seen a lot of women openly doing the kind of things that I'm trying to do. I haven't seen it. And I know that there's women who are gold traders who are selling from their homes. I know there's women who's are, you know, leading their parents' businesses, but I haven't seen very many women who have started a business from scratch, didn't know anybody, and decided to move to another part of town and set up on her own, and is leading a team of men and women. And so I think I stand out more in the north than I would have if I was in Lagos. Lagos is not that rare.
I get what you mean, honestly. I think it's really rare in the north. Well, even though more women are trying to do more things now, I think maybe it's just recently that women just decided that, you know what, we're going to start doing the things that we're not, in quote and unquote, allowed to do.
You know, there's no reason why we can't run businesses. And to be fair, sometimes our brothers are not quite, you know, as focused as they should be. So does it mean that the family business should fail, or nobody's going to lead the family or support the family? Because... do you get what I mean?
Honestly, that was before. Like, people don't do that now. Most women are out there getting the bag. As a brand and person, how are you able to, you know, give back to your immediate community? You know, you said you work with a lot of women and men in Just. So how are you able to give back to your community?
So we'd adopt a community first approach. So we try and pay farmers fairly for their contribution to our business, because really, if they didn't supply us, then we wouldn't have any business. And what that looks like for us is that we pay above the market price. So it means that they have a bit more money in their pockets to really invest back into their homes. We also do a lot of financial services support. So we open bank accounts, we support people in opening bank accounts, we help them register with NIN, and we really work to, you know, give them some basic financial literacy skills by doing workshops. And some of our farmers wouldn't have access to any of these services if it wasn't for us. People talk about, you know, banking the unbanked, or accessing rural communities, or supporting rural communities. But the reality is, who's actually going out into the field and doing the work of opening the bank account? You know, sometimes people don't need... And if you want farmers to become actual traders or business people or suppliers, they need to be able to receive money. Everything is not going to be cash based. And one of my farmers said to me, she goes, oh, the village is not safe anymore. Before, you can leave money in your house and nobody will take it. Now, it's not the same. And it's true. You know, we need ways of, you know, keeping money and being able to manage our money. Yeah, so that's what we do. We do a community first approach, and I really try and make sure I listen to what their needs are, and where I can help, I do help. It's been challenging sometimes, because at the end of the day, we are still a business, so we do need to make a profit to be able to pay staff. But it doesn't change the fact that, you know, we still have a deep, deep commitment to the communities that we serve.
That's really nice, honestly. I think there are so many businesses and brands that do not give back to their community, and how do you expect these people to keep working with you and keep doing what they are doing if they're not getting anything out of it, honestly, that is more than what is expected, you know?
Exactly. So why should they treat you any different to anyone else if you're not doing anything extra?
Exactly. And honestly, it's just a way for your brand to leave a mark, so they know that this is different than other brands, you know? And everywhere they go and they ask of this brand, everybody knows that, oh, okay, yes, this is what they stand for. So, yeah, lastly, I'd like to, you know, ask, how do you as a brand ensure sustainability and ethical practices in your productions?
Yeah, so we try, where we can, we try and use paper packaging that can be used as compost, so you can decompose. It's biodegradable. Where we do use plastic, it's minimal plastic use, and it's for sanitary reasons only. And then our larger sacks tend to be reused. So we're really, really, really big on where we can recycle, we do recycle. And it's more affordable for us anyway. And where we can use paper, we do use paper. You know, sometimes you have to really, really, really make a strong decision on ensuring that you're doing things in a sustainable manner. Otherwise, as soon as a new sexy form of packaging comes along, you'll go blow with the wind as well. And I think when it comes to ethical practices, we try and make sure that we actually build relationships with people, so that I'm not receiving funding, I'm not receiving grain or supporting a supplier who is using child labor, for example, which is actually quite popular. Now, I'm not talking about children helping out on their family farms on occasions. I'm talking about people who are literally hiring very young children in their communities to help them on their farms. It isn't something that we align with, even though I know that it's done. It's just not something that we can stand by as a business. But, you know, it's all about education and having these conversations with people. I'm not judging, right? I'm not in a place, and none of my members of staff are in a place to judge anyone, but having these conversations around it. And if it means that they need extra support in harvesting, we have offered that support as well. And I think it's worked really slowly. I think also as a business, being willing to learn and adjust, it's not just about looking outwards and saying, oh, are they ethical? It's about looking at, as an organization, are we ethical? Am I doing things in a manner that is ethical? Are people going to the office and crying every day? You know, like, am I creating a work environment where people feel safe, where people are compensated for their time, where people feel like their voices are heard? You know, it's about looking inwards. And that's something that I try and do as much as possible. We do regular feedback forms in order to capture that as well.
Yeah, honestly, I think it's super important. I think it's something that so many brands overlook. You know, everybody's just doing what they feel like doing. And for you as a brand to take note of all these things is super, super important. And it's really inspiring.
Thank you. I think it's important. It's not just about what you do outside. And then how will I answer to God? If I was entrusted with this business and I didn't handle it well, what excuse am I going to give?
Yeah, so that's all. We're done with our questions for today. I feel so inspired. You have no idea
how
you
just opted
and moved from the UK to Nigeria and just all alone. You know, when we spoke the first time, I actually thought maybe you had family in Jos and you just decided, oh, let me move to Jos. I'm just speaking to you now. And it's like you just decided to move there because of your business. Wow, that's really inspiring. And that's a huge risk, honestly. I think so many of us are in our comfort zones, and I just wish more of us can be like you. Yeah,
but I give it a try. You know what I mean? And I think it starts by trying small things.
Maybe when we try the small things, then we can be like you. Because
I always say, like, bravery is a muscle. You have to work at it. Do you get what I mean? To strengthen it.
You took the risk and it was totally worth it. So congrats. Yeah.
So goodbye, Fatima. It's been great chatting to you. Hopefully we will catch up soon.
Yeah, goodbye. Guys, I hope this episode reached all your expectations, and I absolutely hope you enjoyed it. So the winner of our giveaway for this week is Sekina. Sekina.aa19. Congratulations. I hope you love your package. And yeah, send me a DM.